Well, we're going back to Genesis. We've been in the book of Genesis, and my wife has wanted me to get through this book because she kept pushing me to go back to it, and this is where we're starting back, and it happens to be Genesis 34. This is probably one of the hardest chapters in the book of Genesis, and so it's a very difficult passage here, as we see. I called it the twisting of lives, and just as this chapter, we see a bad situation getting worse. We see and hear things that can make us want to despair when bad things like this happen, sudden things, whether it be an assault, which this is what this was a rape, actually, in my opinion. But the world seems like that. The world just seems to be spiraling downward. And yet God says that I will never leave you or forsake you, that in this world you will have trouble, but he says, take heart. I am with you. I am with you to the end of the age. And so as we think about the world spiraling downward, we have to be careful of our attitude and not let ourselves be shocked by our world, a world going bad, the twisting of lives, because this is what sin does to our lives and in other people's lives. And I want to break it down. You have your little sermon guide there that breaks it down into three categories. I want to talk about the enemies we face. We see in this chapter alone, just in this little chapter in this book, we see rape, we see rage, we see revenge, we see division, we see disorder, we see disunity. Every vile practice is seen in this chapter. And James tells us, that's an abbreviation that the Bible program uses is JAS, but it's James, the book of James. 3:16 says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And so we have to know that there's three enemies that Warren Wiersbe identifies. He says the world, the flesh, and the devil. But I think that we need to know what that means. What does the flesh mean? Anything that's done apart from God. The flesh is described as apart from God, the human nature apart from God. Is the flesh. It's those passions that are inward, that are part of us. And it identifies two of them in James 3:16, says jealousy and selfish ambition. Those are inward things exist. There will be disorder in every vile practice. That's a pretty strong statement when you think about this world and the world that we live in. That the inward impacts the outward action, right? The things that are going on in the inside of us actually impact what happens and is expressed out in the world that we live in. As we see people doing things and we get shocked by our world, I don't know, but this is something that we hear about. If you listen to the news, I'm amazed at how many things are happening in Pittsburgh when you listen to the news that are just bad. And you get to the point to where you hear about people being shot and you just kind of, it just is a part of our newscast every night. I actually wrote when I first moved to Pittsburgh to Channel 11, and I said, I'm tired of hearing about fires and shootings. Is there anything good that happens in Pittsburgh? And I know that that there is, and I know that this is a great place to live, but in some neighborhoods, this is normal. And that's what's so shocking about it. And as we see this in our world, how do we handle this? As Christians, how do we handle this world that is going bad? We have to have the armor of God on, don't we? Used to have an organist over in First Baptist in Monongahela, Elizabeth Ann Caldwell. Randy and Sandy are shaking their heads. They know who Elizabeth Ann is. Randy Gersatana knows who she is. But she used to tell me that when she got up in the morning, that she said, dress me, Lord, and asked the Lord to put on the armor. And she would name the pieces of the armor and she'd say, dress me, Lord. And she just like humbled me, because how many of us get out of bed and hit the buzzer on the alarm of the, if we get up on an alarm, I'm 51, so I just wake up at 5:30 in the morning, and that's just when you wake up. And by 10 o'clock, I'm in bed or falling asleep, and my daughters were making fun of me because I'm laying there on the couch, you know, falling asleep. And so our flesh is weak, and we have to understand that the flesh is weak, and that we face an enemy. And those enemies are the world apart from God, a world apart from God, the flesh apart from God, the human nature, is sinful. And the devil, we talk about the devil as if he's not there sometimes, and we make fun of him. He's not this little guy with a red pitchfork whispering in your ear. I wanted to read something out of a book called Peacemaker, The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. And he says, Satan prefers that we do not recognize his role in our conflicts. As long as we see other people as our adversaries and focus our attacks on them, we will give no thought to guarding against our most dangerous enemy. Both James and Peter were aware of the danger, and they warn us actively, resist Satan's schemes. In James chapter 4, verse 7, and 1 Peter 5, 9. Paul gives a similar warning, reminding us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against powers of the dark world and against spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. He then describes the weapons needed to withstand Satan's power as truth, righteousness, and the gospel, and faith, and scripture, and prayer. And so as we see this, we have an enemy. That's the main thing that we want to get across here when we see this. And here Dinah is going out. It says, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, this is verse 1, went out to see the women of the land. She was the only daughter in a household of boys. And so I like to think of it that she went and was just going out to be with the other gals. I have three daughters, and there's not a whole lot of guys, and you know, so unless they show up like all of a sudden in the middle of a worship service and come and see my daughter. I'm just giving you a hard time, Jonas. That's the danger of dating the pastor's wife, or not the wife. You're not. You know what I meant. I told you I'm asleep. And this is on tape, too. That's what's even worse. Okay. All right. All right. It's the danger of dating the pastor's daughter. It's my wife's sitting back in the back now. So, is your face red now, honey? I'm just like... Okay. Now that you've had your laugh... okay, so there. Let me get you back. Okay, let me bring you back. I see it's my fault, Jonah. I should have never called you out. Now I'm being embarrassed. And but what I want you to see here is that the enemies we face are the danger of all of this is to think if your Christian world is very let's say young. Let's say not as deep or as fleshed out as it has been for some who have been walking in the faith for a long time, that you don't realize that the world can be a tough place. Even when you become a Christian, you're not protected from all of what is out there, right? So sometimes Christians, they fall away when this happens. Jesus talked about the seeds of faith when bad things happen or when people get ill. We know that we can lead us to despair. And the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And so we have to understand that. What I want to try to get you to understand is where I'm going with the sermon. Is because in this world, we are engulfed in this world. And there are four dangerous things about the world that the Bible talks about. Friendship with the world is one of them, James 4:4. And then being soiled by the world, James 1:27. And then love with the world. Conformity to the world. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and no longer being conformed to the pattern of this world. And we're impacted by the world, even the pastor's impacted by the world. We're not taken out of the world, we are in the world, but the one who is in us is stronger than the one that's in the world. Jesus Christ has given us His Holy Spirit, and we need to walk with Him. Apart from Him, we've walked in the flesh. And when bad things like this happen, we see in this very picture, in this verse, in this chapter, when people don't look to the Lord, they the rage comes and the revenge wants. And I understand the revenge, wanting to take revenge. I have three daughters, so I understand that. But we have to be careful that we don't get drawn in and just being convinced that we're okay without God. We need God to check us up, is what I'm saying, because we have enemies. Now, I want to talk to you about the battle within, but I want you to understand there's a battle going on. There's the enemies we face and the battles we fight. The battles we fight are inside, right? That's an inside job. Sin is an inside job. James chapter 4 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that your passions are at war within you? Okay, that's the flesh, right? The desires have to be checked up. They have to be, we have to look to God to handle this. It's when we don't think we need God that we get ourselves into trouble. It's when we get out there and we walk unconsciously into the world and think that we're not on the battlefield. That we have to understand that when we go out the door, like Elizabeth Ann, we need to pray and ask God to put on the armor of God for us. Because there's passions even within us. They're at war within us. And on the back of your sermon guide, you have this diagram that Peacemakers gives. And I want you to look at it there for a second and just know that the things on the left are inside, are quiet things that are going on inside of us. And when we come up on conflict, when we face these battles, some of us deny, some of us want to take flight, we want to run from them, we want to escape. These are called escape responses. And then even suicide. We just had a woman who drove her car into the Cannonsburg Lake, and she was hopeless, and we were talking about our morning prayer time and our meeting with the guys, our Bible study that we meet with on Saturday. We were thinking about how hopeless she must have been to do that, and that we wished that somebody would have gotten to her and talked to her. I don't know if she was successful. I just heard about it. But what a thing to want to drive your car into the lake. The other side is more attack responses, and they are assault, litigation, murder. And the ones in the middle are the peacemaking responses. This is where we overlook an offense if we can, or we reconcile, we negotiate, or we go into mediation, or we arbitrate, or we have accountability, and we come under the accountability. We're shepherded into those peacemaking responses. So the middle ones are the ones that we want. These take effort, they take hard work. And so it says there in verse 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet. You cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now here's what happens. If you're looking back into this chapter, what happens to this guy, this young man named Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her. If you just look at the words, he saw her, he seized her, and he lay with her, and then he humiliated her. And so we know that his desire was for her, but here he just takes her, and he rapes her, he humiliates her. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman. Well, I mean, does that sound like love to you? It sounds literally like lust. Lust is not something that we're unfamiliar with. If we break it down here, we see that love is selfless. It gives. It sees the other person as a person. Lust sees the person as an object to be used. Lust is selfish. In love, we are selfless and sacrificing. There's a difference in those two. We have to teach our young men that there is a difference between those two things and teach them how to handle this and how to deal with this. We can say, well, that would never happen to me. And we can look away and turn away from this. But why has God got it here? I think it's because we need to go back. Let's just go back to the first slide for a second. The enemies we face, the flesh, the Bible recognizes that if we are not under the power of God, that we have this nature at war within us, and that we're selfish ambition, where we just want to take things, it could be other things other than what we're talking about today, that we can become impacted by this and lose the battle to the world and the flesh and the devil. The enemies we face are very strong. And that the battles we fight, let's go back to the slide, the battles we fight, the desire within us. It's an unmet desire. When desires become demands with God, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. Now, this young guy has done something very wrong here. And it looks, if you look at it, it's something that has hurt somebody else. He has harmed Dinah. In the verse to follow, it says here that now Jacob heard, in verse 5, the father of Dinah heard that he had defiled his daughter, Dinah, but his sons were with the livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. Okay? So that's a good thing. You remember Jacob's walking around with a limp now that God has touched his body, and so Jacob held his peace until they came. And then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to speak to Jacob. That's a good thing. He goes directly to, and because there's a harm, there's a debt, there is a pain, an unbelievable debt, a twisting of somebody's life, and it was because of his son. And so he goes, this father of Shechem goes to Jacob, and he talks to him about the problem. But I want you to notice in verse 7, it says that in verse 6, Hamor the father of Shechem went out to Jacob to speak with him. The men were indignant, angry. I clipped it out of my notes. But in verse 7, it says, the sons of Jacob had come in from the field as soon as they had heard of it, and the men were indignant and very angry. These are inward things going on inside of them, right? Inward anger, annoyance, pain, grieving over the idea of just hearing that your sister had been humiliated and defiled like this. And so they're very angry because he had done this outrageous thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter. For such a thing must not be done. It was a bad thing. The worst thing we can do when a wrong like this has happened is to try to ignore it. The worst thing that we can do is to try to deny it. Those are escape responses. Those are denying that there's actually been harm. And so what do we have to do? We have to acknowledge that there has been a harm. That's the one thing that we have to do. We have to confess the sin. And we have to notice and recognize that we have harmed somebody. And when we do harm somebody, we need to confess it. Now, we have to put ourselves in these young men, these brothers' shoes, and we have to admit that we would all be angry. And we would also be dealing with the passions that would be at war within us. Right? If we deny them, we do not recognize the fact that our struggle is not just against flesh and blood. We will likely push this down and then wait till something like this happens and then erupt. Right? We just erupt. We give ourselves permission to take justice into our own hands and take revenge. There's probably some of you right now in your own mind thinking, yeah, I probably would feel the same way. I'd probably do the same thing. So what happens to these boys? They say, here's what's going to happen. They're going to try to fix the problem by overlooking it. They're going to try to do it in a man-made way. And so what the father does, his own son says, just get that woman for me. I love her. I long for her. And the father says, okay, I'll go talk to him. He doesn't even acknowledge that his son had did anything wrong. And he starts trying to pay a bride price. He says, Shechem says, I'll give you whatever you want for the bride. I'll pay it. But did it help the situation? No, it wouldn't. And here's the thing. I have to cut to the chase because we're going to run out of time. But here's the thing, is that no amount of man-made work can heal this. It's like the untwisting. You ever used a coat hanger and untwisted it to get into something or to dig into your drain or whatever you used it for? You undo it, and then you try to make it back into a coat hanger. You ever tried to do that? I've tried to do that. I hate wasting things, so I take the coat hanger and I untwist it, and then I put it down the drain to get all... And you got three girls, you know, the drain will get clogged, see... Anyways, that's my life. And so I get down in there. And I hate wasting the coat hanger. So I untwist them and I try to put them back together. And I can never make that coat hanger back into the beautiful coat hanger was. It gets all twisted. And see, the only person, like, our lives are twisted. We want to say that our sin is not that bad. But this almost makes you want to look away and you get caught up in the story. But the gospel tells us that our lives, our sin has twisted our lives, has harmed us, has raped our soul, if you will. Has twisted us into such a tormented thing that you could never fix it by a man-made way. You could never buy your way. You could never pay the bride price. So God sent His one and only Son to pay the price for sin and debt, to straighten out, to untwist what has been twisted. And see, what we have to do is not just look at this passage. Yes, there is a wrong. Yes, these gentlemen feel this anger and passion. But we have to say to God, we have to look to God, because we don't seek the things that we seek are for peace. And the enemies we face are big, bad, and ugly. But the battles we fight are from within. And that it takes God to do it. So we have to look for wisdom from above to fight with this. Because our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers of darkness, and that we have no way of man-made work that we can do to straighten this back out. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
I hope it does. I hope it does. I pray that it does, because I have to look at this from wisdom from above. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, it's gentle, and it's open to reason, it's full of mercy and good fruits, and impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, revenge will feel good for a while. But you look in the picture, and what happens is these guys do get revenge. They tell the guys, okay, we'll deal with you. And they say, but you have to be circumcised. And there was no anesthetic back then. They just cut away. And these guys would be sore as all get out. And they wait till they do that and they go kill them. Because they are basically, they know that they're not going to be able to defend themselves. And they go kill them. And Jacob says to his sons, you have made us a stench in the eyes of everybody that's here. And now we can no longer live here. So we have to leave here. And we're going to leave our problems behind. And we are going to move on. And that's what happens to them. They leave. And so here we see leaving them looking over their shoulder the whole time because they're in fear now for their lives. Afraiding now other people will take revenge. So it just keeps spiraling out of control because man tried to solve it in his own way. I'm not saying there shouldn't be justice for Dinah. I'm not saying that, so don't hear that. But I'm saying we need to really train ourselves to look to God in a world that's twisted. Otherwise, we'll become as twisted as the world if we don't look and seek someone who can untwist us in a way that will bring peace, inner peace, for the passions and for the war that's going on inside of all of us. And let me show you something here. The peace we seek, how do we get it? We have to glorify God. How can I please God? We have to ask ourselves, how can I please God and honor the Lord in this situation? Now, when we think of this situation, if I think of this situation, man, I tell you what, I'm going to have to pray. I can't deal with this on my own. I couldn't even be around the people that I would be so upset, so hurt, so grieved by the situation. I wouldn't trust my passions. I wouldn't trust my own flesh. But because remember, you know, Jesus said this to the guys when he told them to stay awake and pray. He said what did he say? He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I have to recognize it. Glorify God. How can I please God and honor the Lord in all this situation? I have to get the log out of my own eye if I'm going to deal. How can I show Jesus' work in me by taking responsibility for my contribution to the conflict? Now, Jacob didn't do anything, but maybe he did. He knew he was in a place where this kind of stuff could happen. So maybe he should have been watching over his daughter a little closer. I don't know. I think it's unfair to Jacob, though. We don't know what was going on. We're not told by the Bible, but But is there anything that I could have done to maybe protect her a little more so she wasn't walking by herself? Maybe one of her brothers should have been there with her when she went out. And maybe they should have had those conversations, because back then it was scary. And then how do I go talk to somebody? How can I restore somebody? I have to do it lovingly, serve others by helping them take responsibility for their contribution to the conflict. So that has to be done in a way that's by an objective person. I have to look for counsel outside, maybe, to deal with it. And then it may take a long time before I can be totally reconciled to the person. How can I demonstrate the forgiveness of God and encourage a reasonable solution to this conflict? You know, the only power that can do that, that would help me forgive, is to know how much I've been forgiven of. You've seen these people that have had, like, people taken out of their lives and shot and stuff, and they say, "We forgive you." When that young man walked into the church and shot those people, and the people were coming, and the whole world was shocked that they could forgive. The only way that you can do that, that's a grace that is given by God to us. That's a peace that is only given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, you're right, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, right? And so it has to become out of a place where we don't even know how to get to. And that's only through prayer. And the Spirit will help us. But we have to trust God enough to seek peace and sow a harvest of righteousness, to know that the accounts will be settled and that God will take out justice and He will be the defender of the weak, and that He will take retribution and His wrath will be justified. So I pray that you will sit before God and ask Him to help you understand what I'm saying is, because let me just show you something in chapter 35, if you'll just turn there in your Bibles, we'll end with this. But after they leave, they have to leave. They leave, and the brothers are still mad. They've already taken their revenge. And just, well, if you look at 34, verse 31, it says, "But they said, should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" They're leaving, and Simeon and Levi are talking to Jacob, Jacob says to them, "You have brought trouble on me," this is verse 30, "by making me stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they grant themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." Has the revenge helped the brothers? Look at verse 31. "But they said, should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" No, it hasn't helped them. And then look at in chapter 35. It says, "God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob is now again on the run, and God tells him, "Go back to where I met with you, where I appeared to you." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods. Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. And then let us rise and go up to Bethel." Had they been in that world, they'd been conformed to that world. They had other gods. So the world that they lived in, the world had impacted their lives to the point of where they had other gods in their possession. And what I'm suggesting is that maybe we have some things in our lives that is of the world and not of God. And we need to ask God to help us. And the enemies we face are stronger than what we can ever imagine. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And the battles we fight are not of flesh and blood. They're an inward battle that's going on inside of us. And if we're going to seek peace that God wants for us, we have to look to Jesus and sow a harvest of righteousness. And we have to realize that He has given us forgiveness that's beyond measure, because His life was, He was beaten and punished for sins that He didn't commit. The very sin that's talked about in here and in our lives, that He untwisted us. And He's made us a new creation. But He has made us into a new person in Christ. That's the only way you can do that. That's the only way you can understand this. That's the only way that we can have peace, true peace, that comes from Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us to remove those idols out of our lives. Put away our foreign gods. Purify ourselves and change our garments. Help us to understand that the enemies we fight against, the enemies we face are the world, the flesh, and the devil are real. And that there is a battle going on inside of us. It's not outside of us. It's not to turn your head today and look into the person to the other side of you or in the other row or look at somebody else and point at them, but it's a battle that's going on that's inside of you, friend. And if you haven't asked God for your forgiveness and for Him to come into your life, then you are a part of that world that God says you are storing up wrath for yourself. I pray for you to help us understand these things, that the peace we seek only can come from Christ. Help us to get in front of our Scripture, and Lord, show us ourselves, and then show us our Savior. Make us what we are not, and teach us what we know not, so that we might become the likeness of Christ, and conform us into His likeness, and help us to give glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen.